is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heat, and Cooling and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. And hey, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is brought to you by the new Zen Sports Sportsbook with cash rewards and the easiest, simplest betting experience possible. Betting just got better. Download the Zen Sports Sportsbook app today. Now, D-Mace is making his case for Chris Moore over D-Hop, and the people have some thoughts. Steven has been waiting very patiently, so we will get to Steven. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up, Steven?
Hey, nothing much. So I will never argue with D-Mace on who's better, be it Chris Moore or Hopkins, but with the when you say, you know, he's not going to get that many targets, that makes the targets that are thrown to whichever receiver that much more important, and there is no way on earth you can tell me you'd rather have that ball going to Westbrook Akina or Chris Moore over Hopkins. He's just going to box him out and get it. But when D-Mace says that one dude's better than the other, I'm going to listen to it. But this team needs DeAndre Hopkins in a bad way. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thanks for your call, Steven.
But I think we're getting confused with what we're saying. We're talking about the 31-year-old DeAndre Hopkins as opposed to the 26, 27, 28-year-old DeAndre Hopkins. Historically, and we read some of these numbers to you on Friday, once a receiver hits 31, it is harder and harder and harder to continue to excel, especially when you've been hit with PEDs and you've had a pretty significant knee injury. Now, this guy in the studio with us is one of the guys who did have a tremendous career from 31 on. So it is possible, right? But what did D-Mace have? He had health. He had durability. Mm-hmm. He had sustainability. Hopkins has piled up some pretty decent injuries here. What's the rap on him? Doesn't practice. So is all of a sudden he's going to find the fountain of youth? So just know that that's what you're getting. You're getting the car that's got 100,000 miles on it. You're not getting
that's
the 50,000 mile. And that's where we're coming in with these arguments of NWI and Chris Moore. And we haven't even factored in what the price is. So that's kind of where I'm coming from here, is what are you buying here? And what are you paying for this? I'm okay at the right price on a gamble that doesn't cost me down the road. But if we're talking about OBJ money, I'm out.
Well, and I think the difference with OBJ that I want to be careful about comparing the two, because I think when the Ravens picked up OBJ's contract, they were in a much different position that the Titans are in now. It was a very public, I don't know if feud is the right word, a very public miscommunication or disagreement between Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. And the Ravens were really stuck between a rock and a hard place because they needed to appease Lamar Jackson. They wanted their negotiations to be a lot more cordial. And how do you do that? Well, Lamar wanted either OBJ or D-Hop. Didn't have to give up anything to go get OBJ. So you get OBJ and you have to sign him to whatever he wants because you need OBJ. You need that to kind of, you know, repair the relationship with Lamar Jackson. The Titans, I don't think, are in that boat. I don't think they're as desperate for Odell Beckham Jr. as the Ravens, or for DeAndre Hopkins as the Ravens were for Odell Beckham Jr. We played a Pat Kerwin clip earlier talking about, you know, the Browns, how much they had to overpay for Deshaun Watson. Well, the Browns were desperate, more desperate for Deshaun Watson than the Titans are for DeAndre Hopkins. So I would agree that I don't think that the Titans are in any position to give DeAndre Hopkins a $20 million contract that lasts, you know, a year, over 3 years. I'm with you on that. But what I'm saying is I don't think that the Titans need need DeAndre Hopkins to be what he was 3 or 4 years ago. Right now, your receiver room is two guys coming into their second year that couldn't stay healthy in year one. Chris Moore, a journeyman throughout the league, who his best year came last year and was just shy of 550 yards. You don't have very many threats in the wide receiver room. Adding DeAndre Hopkins, even at 31 years old, even after a PED suspension, even after an injury, would be the biggest threat in that room already, even at 31 years old.
No, he's not.
Not necessarily.
No, he's not the biggest threat. The biggest threat in that room is Treylon Burks.
Okay, then the second biggest threat.
No, the second biggest threat, honestly, and it has nothing to do, because we're looking at this from the lens of D-Hop's whole career.
Yes.
We're not looking at it from the lens
I'm looking
of
at last year. Last he had 17, year. There's 700 yards right. in nine.
And how many
games?
Passes did they throw him the
96.
Ball?
96.
96. And he caught 60 of them.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
He ranked 70th.
60 catches 70th. For 700 yards. And 70, also, what
65,
he adds to 71, your
67. What Those are his
he,
rates.
Okay, again.
Efficiency I am, be damned.
I am the biggest.
I don't efficiency. Care about efficiency.
You don't care about efficiency?
No, I care about biggest. Making this team better. And They're DeAndre not, Hopkins makes this team better.
I'm the biggest D-Hop fan out there of his career. Y'all heard me talk about him. Look at his whole career, what he's done. Hall of Famer to me. One of the best receivers. The third best that I've seen receiver of catching the football. First is Chris Carter, then Larry Fitzgerald, and now then him, D-Hop. But that was D-Hop 2-3 years ago. Look at D-Hop. I guarantee you we're going to be having this conversation, if he did come here, and we're going to be having the same conversation we had with Julio Jones. Why did they sign him? Yeah, why did they sign him? Look at what he gave us. Yada, yada, this and that, and that, and this. I understand in a sense, it's a different scenario because, one, they're two different players. Julio relied more on his speed mm-hmm. and his strength, to sort of, and Julio was a flat-out stud, and he's a Hall of Famer as well. D-Hop was a little bit different. They're two different players, but what you're bringing them in here to do is essentially the same thing, to upgrade your receiving core, to be that guy that you used to be. That's why they're bringing him in here. He's not that guy.
I think they know that he's not that guy that he was 4 years ago.
Okay, so let me put it to you this way. He says, you give me the OBJ contract, I'm in. Do you give him that?
No, because there's no market that indicates that he's worth that. And
okay.
I would not do that.
Okay.
No.
I mean, so you're saying, and so that
but just
it becomes
the Ravens
that's
signed
become
Odell
the question.
Jr. to a bad deal,
but that
mean
becomes
the
question.
Have to, too.
There is a level that I'm willing to pay to see if he could bounce back, to see if he's the exception to the rule, and see if I can get
yes.
a bounce back. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going into that range. That's going to end up where the rubber meets the road. Right? Is if they offered him a contract yesterday, he'll say, "Okay, I'll take it under advisement. Let's see what." What mm-hmm. is that number that you're willing to pay to see, right? That to me is where the question lies, because I'm leaning towards D-Mace. I am very, very concerned about what you're getting.
Fair
at
concerns.
This thing,
fair
at
concerns.
This stage of his career.
At this stage of his career, I think that is fair. But also think about that. I understand that you are getting 31-year-old DeAndre Hopkins, mm-hmm. and you will get 31-year-old DeAndre Hopkins results. You have to go into that understanding that.
So what is so if he's coming off of 71 700 yards on a team that primary
in nine games.
A team that like he was their number one target.
Yeah.
They geared everything around, they moved around, did all these things to get him open. So now he comes to the Tennessee Titans. So you're saying, are the Titans then going to implore the same type of attention for him or to him, putting him in different places, moving the offense around for D-Hop?
I've said a million times before, and I will say it a million times again, Treylon Burks is your number one.
Okay.
Whether you bring DeAndre Hopkins in here or not, Treylon Burks is your number one. Mm-hmm. You have invested more into him than you have anyone in that receiver room, D-Hop included. So he's your number one. Mm-hmm. Whatever you have to do with DeAndre Hopkins, do it. You need to move him around. If you add him into this offense, whatever you need to do. But I think adding in D-Hop makes Treylon Burks' job easier. Because if I'm a defensive coordinator, all I have to do is take out Treylon Burks, and then you've got Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chris Moore to throw to. So that obviously makes Treylon Burks' job easier. It adds another weapon
in the passing
game.
But can't we say...
It adds another go-to guy in the passing game. It gives a veteran in the room for Treylon Burks to look up to.
Okay. The veteran is Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Chris Moore, and whoever else they choose to bring in.
They are not the veterans to the caliber that DeAndre Hopkins is.
Again, we are – if we just need a veteran to you know, bring in –
experienced, accomplished, fringe Hall of Famer veteran.
Again, that's – see, that is what you're, that's what you're banking on.
No.
But we're not going to get
– I'm saying the presence in the locker room.
I understand
that. For Treylon Burks to learn from DeAndre Hopkins is wildly different than Treylon Burks learning from Chris Moore.
I understand that, but then they can bring
in – But in terms of his production
– Well, no.
I would still take 31-year-old DeAndre Hopkins over anyone else.
Let's not say that. We assume – that it would be. But if the speculations are coming out that he doesn't learn, that he doesn't want to practice and this and that, how does that benefit Treylon Burks when he sees a guy that isn't practicing or don't want to practice? That's doing more harm to him than good.
The practicing thing is a fair concern. It is a fair concern.
So to me, again.
But it's not like Treylon Burks and DeAndre Hopkins are never going to cross paths.
I know
that. It's not like he won't be a presence in the locker room.
I know that.
And his presence on the field, just his presence, you have to pay attention to it. We've talked about it all the time.
Did he do anything for Arizona?
We've talked about it all the time with
Derrick
Henry.
Did he do anything for Arizona?
What do you? He got 700 receiving yards in 9 games.
They
stunk. Did he do anything for Arizona? Yes. That presence.
They were terrible. DeAndre Hopkins cannot be the only person that turns a total crap team.
Did it do anything for him the year before that?
Not really.
No.
Yes.
How?
Did
they make the playoffs?
Did
they make the playoffs?
They did make the playoffs.
Yeah, they did. They barely
made it. But he was hurt.
They dropped 7 games like that, 6 games.
And
they barely made it in.
He was having a pretty good year before he got hurt.
Exactly. So, again, you're talking about 2 years ago before an injury. And now he's 2 years removed from an injury. He got popped for PEDs.
He is several months removed away from 700 yards in 9 games on 64 receptions.
Exactly, yeah.
96 targets.
64 receptions.
Right, 11.2 yards per carry per catch, which
pretty
is
pretty solid.
That's not, no.
That's the lowest. That's
I would
the
take
lowest
that.
That's tight end money.
Right I would there. Take that.
Three that's touchdowns.
You would take that too?
100%. I'm not paying $20 million a year for it.
What if he asked for $8 million, $9 million?
In a heartbeat. Are you crazy? $9 million for DeAndre Hopkins?
Again, y'all are living in this fantasy world. As much as I like D-Hop and his ability to play the game of football, y'all are looking at the past just like y'all did with Julio Jones, just like y'all did with Andre Johnson, just like y'all did with all these other receivers, Randy, all these other receivers
I've
that came in here
times,
and y'all looked
the
at
past,
their past.
I'm looking at his
Look
last
at his
season.
Future. His
it wasn't
future.
Good.
Yes. His last
his
season wasn't great.
It was his worst season.
It was better than any other receiver on this Titans team. His worst season.
The
better
Titans
than any
were horrible
other
last
player
year.
On this team.
Depends on how you measure it.
By yards, by touchdowns, by targets, the stats that matter.
Again, I go back to.
This is not fantasy football.
This is football.
I gave you the football. I gave you the analytics numbers. They just hired another analytics person.
And I will give you some more analytics numbers, okay. And we will continue the conversation coming up next. Because I don't know. Am I crazy? We'll continue the conversation coming up next. Caroline Riley DeMays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers, AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 3-1-2 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Now, I think that I am crazy. I think that I don't know what I put in my cereal this morning, but apparently I'm a crazy one for thinking that DeAndre Hopkins would make this team better. Willie looks at the analytics, and what is the analytic exactly, Willie?
The analytics are from Football Outsiders.
Okay.
And last year, DeAndre Hopkins, coming off of the PED suspension, he also did sit out the last couple games of the season.
Yeah,
the previous year. It was kind of, I don't know exactly what the injury was.
That was kind of a weird thing. That was he injured? Was he not? Was he just over Arizona? I don't know.
Okay, but you're not worried about that?
I'm not worried about it, no.
Okay, but he rated 70th. In the four metrics that Football Outsiders use to rank the efficiency of wide receivers, he was 70th, 65th, 71st, and 67th. There were 85 qualified wide receivers who had the ball thrown to them 50 times or more. So this isn't like throwing in the guys that, you know, played three games and caught 10 passes, and their efficiency
wide
was high.
Receiver seven.
You had to play enough to get 50 balls thrown your way. And so he ranked below, and this is what gets everybody bent out of shape. He ranked below Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. He ranked below Chris Moore. He ranked below Treylon Burks in efficiency in those categories. Now, what is efficiency? It is, okay, yes, he had 717 yards, but he had 96 passes thrown to him. They track things like, in Football Outsiders, if you catch five balls at the end of a game and your team's down by 17, that's not as valuable as you catch third down conversions. If you catch a ball and it's third and 15 and you catch a 12-yard pass, the yards look good, but you didn't move the sticks, so you get marked off for that. So it's what is happening when you catch the ball. How often are you being thrown the ball? What's happening when you're being thrown the ball? All of these go into it. It's not just straight up fantasy numbers of how many yards did you get. He only had three touchdowns, too. Now, the best argument you can give me, I think, coming back is like, look, man, the Cardinals were awful. Mm-hmm. It was a mess from the start. Kyler Murray's not studying enough. Kyler Murray's running all over the place. Cliff Kingsbury doesn't know what he's doing. They got all these guys, and it was bad. I had Kyler Murray as my quarterback, so I watched him a lot. It was rough. Tough. They had some games where I'm like, what is going on? I have no idea what they're doing. And that was before DeAndre Hopkins came back, and that was after DeAndre Hopkins came back. And, of course, then, after a while, Kyler Murray got hurt, and it wasn't even Kyler Murray throwing him the ball. So I can see that you could say, look, give him a pass. That was just a whole mess. That's probably the best argument. But that is the fact. He was not the same guy as he was pretty much every year leading up to that, including the year before when he was before the knee injury, he was ranked 19th in these numbers.
And I think we can all see that and understand why this past season he wasn't what he was 3 or 4 years ago. He's older, coming off the PED suspension, more injuries. And I don't know if I necessarily 100% agree with the efficiency, because let's say, use your example, third and 15, it's a 12-yard pass, you don't get past the sticks. Well, how much is that really the receiver's fault, and how much is that the quarterback's fault for not throwing past the sticks, or for the play call not calling a play past the sticks? I don't really know if I put that on the receiver. Now, if it's your job to be 16 yards downfield past the sticks, and that's not where you are, then, you know, that's a different story.
Well, because
I don't know how much I can really put that on the receiver.
Well, here's the deal. Why do you think they sent, if indeed that was the case, why do you think they sent him 10-yard route or 7-yard route? He can't get down the field. He doesn't have the foot speed to get down the field. So I can't ask him to run a 16-yard route, because if I ask him to run a 16-yard route, that means I have to hold the ball a little bit longer, and I may not have the protection to get it to him. When you lose that speed, it makes it harder for you to get down the field. So we're not going to throw you 15-yard passes all the time. That's why his catch per average was so low, because they had to get the balls in his hands very quickly as he's coming off the line of scrimmage. That's where he's good at. He can't get the ball. You can't get him down the field anymore like you used to in prior years. You can't just throw it up every time like you used to three or four years ago, and more than likely he's going to make that catch. Now, he's going to make his share because he has good hands, but it's not going to be to the level that he used to make them, okay?
And that's fine, as long as you can understand that, as long as you understand we're bringing in 31-year-old DeAndre Hopkins who simply cannot do what he used to be able to do. But even though he is not 26-year-old DeAndre Hopkins, I think he is still in a leaps and bounds massive upgrade for this receiver.
No, it's not. No, he's not.
Why?
He is not leaps and bounds. He makes the receiver room a little bit better.
A little bit better?
A little, yes.
Now, none of us know, right?
No. I'm telling you.
He could have a bounce back, and that could be one thing.
The likelihood
he could also fall off a cliff and not even be close to an upgrade.
The likelihood of him, even when I left at 31, well, I left here at 30, the likelihood of me, you know, having a season that I had in the prior year, was the likelihood of that wasn't slim, but you knew the production was going to come down just because you're going to a new team, you got to learn the offense, you're getting a little bit older, yada, 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 whatever else comes with a wide receiver getting older in this game. So the production does dip some. It dipped for him last season. He had 96 balls. You know how many balls Nick Westbrook or Kenny? I'm going to tell you Nick's numbers. Basically, 400 yards, averaged 16 yards a catch, meaning 16 yards a catch with 3 touchdowns. You know how many targets he got?
How many?
Just take a guess.
It's 40.
50 targets. So what if I – imagine if I target him 30 more times or 40 more times. He's right. Going to have the same
96,
amount of yardage
it's 96.
As D-Hop with right. Probably more touchdowns than D-Hop.
Well,
How many games did Nick Westbrook Akina play?
Nick Westbrook played in all of them. It don't matter.
Well,
That's what the analytics are trying to say.
But
what I'm saying is this. He may have played more games, but his role was less than D-Hop, and D-Hop only played, what, 10 games.
Nine
games. But Nick Westbrook Akine's role was a lot less than what they were asking of D-Hop.
It needs to be less.
Maybe it doesn't. Maybe if you allow him to go out there and play like you did in the previous year where his numbers were better and the whole situation was better, offensive line was better, Derrick Henry was being Derrick Henry,
well,
as
sure
he always
if,
is.
If Kyler Murray was better and Arizona had a better offensive line than Deion.
No, no. We're just talking about – but what I'm saying is this. We go to the numbers and say, well, had he played a full season, this is what he would have. And you're probably right. But we can't then discount that for Nick Westbrook-Ikhine saying, had they targeted him more, he's shown that he's a guy that Ryan Tannehill trusts. And more than likely, he is the one that's going to catch the ball.
Okay.
We look at Nick Westbrook Akina as a scrub. He ain't no damn scrub. I'm going to say it like Stephen A. He ain't no scrub. He may not be a top echelon receiver, but he ain't no damn scrub. When you give him an opportunity to make plays, he has shown he make plays. Maybe not to the magnitude of what a number one guy would, but he's not a number one guy, and we're not asking him to be a number one guy.
All right, hold 25 on. Of his 50 targets.
Okay, exactly.
D-Hop caught 60-something of his 96.
Right.
Okay.
And their efficiency.
Efficiency is better.
It's about the same. It's really –
I'm saying as far as where you're ranked.
Nick Westbrook Akine was 67th.
Uh-huh.
DeAndre Hopkins was 70. So what these numbers are saying is if they had basically the same amount of –
they'll be
targets,
the same in receiver.
It would be about the same.
So you're telling.
And both are well below average.
I don't
at least based on what happened last year.
I don't need efficiency to tell me what my eyes can tell me. That if you give me DeAndre Hopkins and Nick Westbrook Akine, I'm going to take DeAndre Hopkins 6 days a week and twice on Sunday. Because I think that analytics sometimes can add great value and mm-hmm. can sometimes add really interesting context to the story. But sometimes where I get frustrated with analytics is when it tells a different story of what my eyes can tell me. For example, in The Athletic, they put out an article ranking the receivers, all of the receivers in the NFL. And this is including tight ends, running backs, pass mm-hmm. catchers, based on expected points added per reception. And based off of that analytic, you know who they have ranked as the number one receiver in the NFL? Jahan Dotson, Gabe Davis, Christian Watson, Ja'Marr Chase is ranked as the 41st best receiver under this analytic. I don't need any analytic to tell me that Ja'Marr Chase is the 41st best receiver in the league. I know. My eyes can tell me. My football brain can tell me. Ja'Marr Chase is a top 5, top 10 receiver in mm-hmm. the league. So I think that sometimes that the analytics, when you look too far into the numbers, it can portray an incorrect picture. Like your example with third and 15 of, okay, well, if you catch the ball short of the sticks, that's against your efficiency. But that's not always on the receiver. I don't need an analytic to tell me that D-Hop is a 70th best option in the league, because I know that he's not, even at 31 years old and even after injuries.
But the analytics are telling you, and the team is telling you, that, listen, if we thought he was better than what the analytics said, we would have worked it out with him in Arizona. We would have did something, turned it, because we need it, because we're going to be ushering in a new quarterback pretty soon here, if not this year.
Arizona wanted to get rid of him.
So they're tanking.
Yeah, they're tanking for Tua.
But what I'm saying, we need him, if indeed that's the case. But the analytics for him at this point in time in his career, this is not a one-off. He's been going down as his career has been going down. Like the number, he's been falling as he's gotten older.
Where did he rank in that per reception? What was the category again?
Expected points per average. DeAndre Hopkins was 88th. So, like, he's not the 88th best receiver in the league.
But that has to do with what happens when they throw you the ball, right?
Yes.
Because the guys are higher. They didn't get the ball thrown to them nearly as often, but they did well while they got him, right? So they played their role well. DeAndre Hopkins, those numbers tell me he was targeted a lot, and his efficiency was way down based on where it's been before, 88.
So he's not a guy that you, at this point in his career, and what the Titans do need, he's not it right now. You're bringing him in because of, and listen, if you bring him in, I would like it. But you're bringing him in because of what he has done, not necessarily that you think he's the last missing piece. You just want to bring in somebody to help the passing game, to help the guys here. Mm-hmm. He's not then going to come here and have this resurgence of a career.
I don't think that's what he needs, though. I think the Titans are looking at it like this receiver room needs a little bit more oomph, needs a little bit more help. We want to make our team better. And that's what DeAndre Hopkins does.
Honestly, I can go do that. I can go get
Kenny Galladay. Yeah.
Yes. I can go get him 2 years removed from a 1,000-yard receiver.
And they might do that.
If the
dollars and cents don't work out with DeAndre Hopkins, then I'm sure that's the next option.
If it's me, that's where I'm going, because he's younger and he's faster. And he's shown he can play in this league. 2 years in a row, he's shown he can play in this league. I don't know what happened with that last couple of years with the Giants, but before he got to the Giants, when he was with Detroit, he put up numbers. So it's still in him, and he's young.
He's 29.
He's young.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We've got a bunch of calls, bunch of texts, and bunch of thoughts on that, so we're right into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game, in The Game Nashville app. D-Mace and Willie are sticking with the analytics, sticking with the efficiency numbers that says DeAndre Hopkins was the 71st ranked receiver in terms of efficiency. Don't think that DeAndre Hopkins would add exponentially much. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but yes. I said I think that DeAndre Hopkins would make this team leaps and bounds better.
No.
You disagreed.
I think he, obviously the room would be better. But when you say leaps and bounds, I mean this team goes from being, and honestly, because of sort of the nature of it, when you say, well, it makes this team leaps and bounds. Well, this is a good team, not a bad team, not a great team, but this is a good team. So if you bring him in here and he makes this team leaps and bounds better, they are a Super Bowl contending team.
But well, that's not what I mean by that.
But I'm just saying, when you say that to me, he makes this team a little bit better from a passing standpoint. It's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be a thing where all of a sudden this offense start lighting up the place because they add D-Hop.
I don't think that it's going to be all of a sudden Ryan Tannehill goes from 250 passing yards a game to 450. I don't think that
he goes from 250 yards passing to 255 yards passing a game.
I think that a D-Hop could be the difference of 2-3 games, and that could be the difference in the division. So that could be the difference between you making the playoffs and not.
How can he, again, how does he make him 2 or 3 games better? How?
Because it makes the passing game better. It takes defensive backs off of Treylon Burks. It gives Ryan Tannehill.
It's still not going to take defensive backs off of Treylon Burks. It's just not. Because
now you have to divide your attention. I'm not saying that Treylon Burks is now all of a sudden going to run free and nobody's going to pay attention to them, but it inherently makes his job easier when now a defensive coordinator has to look at both of them and your guy Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chris Moore.
What we're losing here is this. We thought this same thing 2 years ago when I kept saying, why in the hell are they getting rid of Corey Davis? Why are you getting rid of Corey Davis? Why are you getting rid of Corey Davis? He fits what this team want to do. He keeps people from double-teaming A.J. Brown, because when you double-team A.J. Brown, Corey Davis has the ability to get open and terrorize you, and he showed it when he was here. They got rid of him. Bring in Julio Jones. Watch this offense fly. They ain't going to be able to double-team A.J. Brown. You know, Julio's going to be over here. And what happened? 31-year-old Julio came in, and it was crickets. And he played a lot. Now, he got in doghouse with Vrabel, so that could have been a part of it. But the offense never did sort of morph into what many thought it was going to be. You gotta look at it again, because we looked at Julio, say his name and what he has accomplished, and we're right. His name and what he has accomplished makes him a Hall of Fame player. No question. What D-Hop has accomplished in his name makes him a Hall of Fame player. No question. But he's not that at this particular moment. We don't know what he is. From last we saw over the last 2 years, his play has declined some. And you're not going to tell me, especially after getting popped for PEDs, I don't know what they were, but they were, damn it, they were PEDs. So he needed something to get him going. Now he doesn't have that. The numbers, the history tells me that it's going to decline even more.
But
and
we
you
still
don't,
saw him play 9 games after he got popped for PEDs.
Exactly. He still played 9 games. But yet and still,
and it was his worst
year. It didn't change that offense for the Arizona Cardinals. And I'm not blaming it on him, but I'm just saying it didn't change the offense. So then now you bring him here, got to learn a whole new system, got to learn, you know, Vrabel, because Vrabel as a position coach on the defensive side of the ball is different from Vrabel as the whole coach over everybody. He's different now. So you got to learn the coach again. You got to learn what's going on in the building. So now when we finally get on the field, we're not – because whenever he does sign, remember this. What if he doesn't sign it to July? You ain't got no time to build up no rapport. Nothing. That means a lot, people. If he walks out of this building and doesn't sign today or tomorrow, and he chooses to double back, say in July, you know, mid to late July, again.
But at that point, the Titans might say that ship has sailed.
No, they might, but what if they don't say?
If they don't, then that is their own prerogative.
But what we got to understand is this. We got to look at it for what it is now. The player, and we're not disrespecting him by looking at who he is as a player. Now, he's not the D-Hop that we all were just marveling over. He's not that guy. He's become mortal in a sense.
Yes.
He's become a second guy on a subpar team. If he goes to a really good team with two guys that can flat out, he becomes the 3 or the 4. You got to look at
which
it
is why
at.
The Chiefs would like him. This might be the right spot for him. They could probably do something for him if he is in that role. That's what makes sense to me. So, and look, we can go through the history of 31-year-old wide receivers. We can talk about Julio Jones when he was 31. 32. Remember, he was 32 when he was on the Titans. Mm-hmm. When he was 31, he had had his first year where he missed a lot of games. He played only 9 games. He had 771 yards. Way more efficient, though. 68 targets, 51 receptions, 15 yards per catch. The drop-off happened after that. So just historically, just know, when a guy hits 31, it is rare that you still can produce, but most of the guys who did are like Derek. They never missed any time coming up through that rank. If you've been hurt, the chances are even harder for you to bounce back and be what you were before the injuries pile up.
But I think my overall point is, I know he's not what he used to be. I know that. I'm not expecting him to be that. I wouldn't even expect, honestly, a 1,000-yard season. Mm-hmm. But even still, that makes your pass-catching core better. Let's get your thoughts on it. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Solo has been waiting very patiently. What's up, Solo?
Hey, my question is, are we a contender? If we're not a contender, don't bring him back, because he's going to take away a play from Burke, from Phillips, from Chinqua, from McMath. Whoever we have, develop these young talent. Maybe in 2, 3, 5 years, they'll be good together. You bring a old one in. It's been 13 years, let me say. Maybe 2005, that's when I became a Tennessee Titans fan. And with what I realized, we can pick number one quarterback. We don't have a coach that's the ball of quarterback. We leave them, you know, where they were in college. And we don't even try to teach them what they're good at and then try to change them what they can be. So this team has a problem. We drop high. We let them walk. We never keep our good players we pick. Whether we're tight end, yeah,
thank you for your wide receiver, thank you for your call, Solo. Appreciate
it. I don't need him.
Thank you for
your
call.
He says, no, they're not a contender. And I see that. If you're rebuilding, you probably don't go down this road. But they're, again, I think they're trying to sort of thread the needle. What can we do this year, but also have an eye on the future?
Let's get right back into your phones on this coming up next. Caroline Willie D-Mace, TD in 15 minutes. 1025, 1063, the game. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game, and the game Nashville app. TD Teron Davenport will join us in 10 minutes. I think the Titans need DeAndre Hopkins. I think that DeAndre Hopkins adds another threat in the passing game. It takes a defensive back off of Treylon Burks. It adds a veteran presence in the room. But I don't think D-Mace and Willie agree with me.
It depends on the price.
And
okay,
that's fair.
Yeah. If you tell me it's a bargain price, then I'm interested. If you tell me it's in the OBJ category, I am a hard pass. But then there's kind of that what's in between, right? And that's where, to me, the decision has to be made. And that's if he's interested, right? Cleveland could come in and give just dumb money to say, well, we'll give you what OBJ.
Cleveland has done that before. And I got a
many teams have when they feel the pressure that they have to win. Mm-hmm. They have Deshaun Watson. They haven't won in a while. They paid all this money to get him. They might do it. I mean, it just takes one, right? That's what he's probably shopping around for. But to me, you've got to know what you're getting, and you got to assign the right value to where he is now. It's like D-May started this whole conversation by saying, don't look at the name. Look at what he is now at age 31.
Let's get your thoughts on it. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought, Austin is on the line. What's up, Austin?
Oh, not much. Just trying to get through a busy day. But I was just listening to you guys. I agree. The Tennessee Titans need DeAndre Hopkins. And I disagree with Willie and D-Mace because I feel like the analytics were a little bit diluted based on last year because of Kyler Murray getting hurt and all of that. If you look at the prior year, 2021, I believe, he had 8 touchdowns. Less yards, I believe it was over 500 yards, I believe, with 8 572 with 8 touchdowns. So combine those two seasons, he is still, in my mind, he would be considered the best receiver that the Titans currently have. Now, Chris Moore, yes, he's younger, but we still don't know a whole lot. He's like a journeyman. Like I said, he could possibly pan out. He couldn't. So I'm on the idea of I would rather have a proven commodity to help possibly coach these guys so that Treylon Burks, him being with Treylon Burks would be perfect. I just I look at DeAndre Hopkins, and he in my mind would be the best thing to happen receiver wise currently, because I can't think about Julio Jones. That's where I get kind of it's not the same.
Yep. Thank you for your call, Austin. Appreciate that. I think another thing, too, Chris Moore's 29, and D-Hop's 31. So, yes, Chris Moore is younger. But still, it's not like Chris Moore is 23 years old with an entire career left with a whole lot to prove. At least I think.
No, he has a whole lot to prove.
What you see is what you're going to get with Chris Moore. He's been in the league since 2016.
No, what you see is not what you're going to get because, again, if you look at
his
career.
Why am I supposed to expect that he's going to do so much more?
What I'm saying is this. When he's been given the opportunity to catch the football, he's made do on those opportunities. He just hadn't gotten enough opportunities. He got enough last year, which parlayed him to a contract this year. Okay? Then the other thing we got to throw in, listen, you're asking a guy that, and I'm about to tell you, and I think we talked about this before, starting his career, 93 targets, 127, 192, 150, 176, 163, 150,
160.
Last year, 2 years ago, played 10 games, 64. Last year, 96. So
we're talking over 10 per game, 10 or more per game most years.
Yeah. He's not going to get those many targets here. So you're asking him to be productive with less targets per game. Here, he's going to get maybe 4 targets on average per game. He doesn't operate in those spaces. Guys like him, number one guys that have been number one guys, they don't operate with you just throwing the ball at them 4 times a game. You're talking about 1 per quarter. Hell, he got more than 1 in 1 drive in his career. So now you're asking him, hey, you come here, you be second fiddle to Treylon Burks. You knew that already. But the way our offense is designed, you're not going to get the 6 or 7 catches you require or maybe not even the 5 catches you require. You know who thrives best under that? Chris Moore. Why? Because he's not used to getting 100 and something. He plays he make do with the opportunities that he get. He doesn't need a lot of opportunities. Just like Nick Westbrook-Ikhine doesn't need a lot of opportunities. They just need to be put in the right position. The offense needs to flow the way it needs to flow, or the offensive coordinator needs to be creative. We believe Tim Kelly is creative. So with that being said, I would rather, not necessarily because of their careers, but because of where they're at now, I would rather go with Chris Moore and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Not to say that D-Hop wouldn't make this room better, not exponentially better or enormously better, but not exponentially, take that out, enormously better. But with these young guys, they operate in a space where they're not used to 90-something, you know, targets a season. They're used to 50, and they make do with the 50 because they know that, hell, I'm not going to give them any chance, so I'm going to go out here and ball when I do get an opportunity. D-Hop is used to getting 10 touches per game, at least. He's not going to get that with the Tennessee Titans, which means the production is not going to be there. It's not.
Couple things. First of all, let's say he does get, I think it would be more than 4 targets a game.
No, it wouldn't. No.
Let's say 4 targets a game.
Let's be generous and say 6. Let's just say 6 to be generous.
Who else would those? Well, Bokum is going to Treylon. And then you got Chigakonkwo. Then you got Spears coming out the backfield. And then you do have Chris Moore, who you just signed. And then you do have, if you sign D-Hop, then you have D-Hop. And then you have Nick Westbrook-Ikhine because you trust Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
Kyle Phillips.
Yep. So you got to understand. We're just looking at the name and what he has done, and rightfully so.
I've told you so many times I'm looking at more than just the name. I'm looking at his production this past year and what the Titans have to work with. And I think the second thing is it's a very fair point that you don't want to bring in a guy who's used to being the guy and now he's no longer the guy. But I think that's why the Titans brought him in, is to kind of lay that down and say, look, this is what we're working with. We're not going to sugarcoat anything. You're not going to be our number one. You're not going to be getting 15 targets a game. Are you okay with that? If so, then great. Let's move forward.
He's not coming if that's the case.
If not, then have a wonderful career in New England. But I do think that was part of the conversation, part of the reason of bringing him in here, because it is a fair point. But I want to get TD's thoughts on that, so we will chat with him coming up next. TD Teron Davenport will join us coming up next. Caroline Billy D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.